We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, it is Dom time. Don't forget, 2 o'clock hour every day, Dom's Money Melody. We have a great prize.
Money Melody.
Yeah, she'll be asked to guess that. I mentioned in Dan Time with Dom this story that's circulating out there where researchers from Oregon State University announced certain compounds with cannabis are able to block, they say, the virus responsible from COVID from penetrating human cells. The study was led by their Global Hemp Innovation Center. Now, Dan, I hear that starts to get a little bit hinky with me. You know, people always want to say the wonders of hemp, marijuana, etc.
Well,
and the line is
there's a lot of positive uses for hemp.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but you know what? Look, objectively, you know, there's a bias going in when you hear that title, the Global Hemp Innovation Center.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, it seems like they have a target that they want to land on by doing said study.
Yeah,
that's the name of their organization. Yeah.
And the Linus Pauling Institute. Now, I like Linus Pauling, a scientist outside the box, but he likes things, or I think he's deceased. He was the vitamin C guy, which I agree with him on, but I know the bias going in. A pair of cannabisoid acids were found to bond with the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein and block a vital part of that protein that allows the virus to infect people. We identified several what they call ligands and ranked them by affinity to the spike protein. The two cannabis proteins with the highest affinities for the spike were CBDA and CGBA, and they were confirmed to block infection. Now, you know, the apparatus with this, so do you have to walk around high all the time?
Well, I was going to say, just not get vaccinated, let's all get stoned.
Yeah, but then, you know, I don't see the details of this as far as how long it remains in your body. I know the 30-day type of thing if you're drug tested, right? So,
could be longer, even.
Yeah,
you know,
it could be longer.
Hair tests are up to 6 months, I
believe. Yes. So, look, I'm fine with this, except, you know, how it gets spun, how it gets attacked. Here we go. But it did make even Jimmy Kimmel last night have trouble mocking this. He even laughed and said maybe he's more interested. In other words, they can't go horse pills or something like that with this. But to your point, I didn't know that the medication you take is being tested to see if it helps with COVID. Bill Maher in this show said, Dom, when did ivermectin become a political matter? This is what we ought to be doing. Now, does this then stop people from getting vaccinated? I mean, we're at a point now where if people are not getting vaccinated, are they going to get vaccinated? And if we can find something that saves lives, why would we have a bias against that? I don't care what it is. That's a matter of choice. Ivermectin has done pretty well in some. There's still a battle over that. Hydrochloroquine, I think people have pushed back against that. I think some doctors still would prescribe it.
So I just want to clarify with the famotidine. I don't know how to pronounce it, but that's the PEPC that I mentioned before the break. What they're testing is, the working hypothesis is that famotidine will be superior to placebo in reducing disease-related symptoms in non-hospitalized COVID-19 patients with mild or moderate disease. Just wanted to correct myself because I said it's being considered as a way to deter the virus. It's not true. They're working on a hypothesis to see if it's a superior placebo and superior than the placebo in reducing disease-related symptoms.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but the point is medical science is all over this, and does that mean then we're encouraging more people to remain unvaccinated? No, I don't see it that way, and I think it creates credibility if there's any chance of doing that, if people that are pro-vaccine are also pro-choice on these things.
I think a lot of people that are deterred away from the vaccine do it because the whole vaccine mantra is it's my way or the highway.
Yes, that's one of the things that's out there. Now the NCAA, because we'll have March, we'll have the tournament coming up, now say that if you've had COVID in the last 90 days prior to the test, they will count that. Yeah, well, here is what it says. The final COVID-related numbers after 90 days reflecting that they say that they have a documented COVID-19 infection in the past 90 days. It's considered the equivalent of being fully vaccinated. I don't know why the 90 days. That's the NCAA. We know they have their big tournament coming up. They want to get as many people in there as possible, I guess. But they're on record now counting that as being fully vaccinated, that you can participate and you're fully vaccinated. Not many are doing that necessarily, so that's where we are. All right, wanted to play one other thing. Then we'll take a few callers, and then we have Dom's Money Melody. This is thank
Money
you.
Money Melody.
This is CBS 3. Reporting on an off-duty Philadelphia police officer not only foiling an attempted carjacking, but trailing the carjackers, and they got the car, and I think they may have gotten the carjackers, but it also underlines what we talked about. This guy, they smashed into him, they rear-ended him, and I don't think he got out as if it were an accident, Dan. Now, this is a big thing with people. If you're in the Philadelphia area, not just Philadelphia, there are gangs of people rear-ending people, at least tapping them. And then when people get out, it makes it easier for them to carjack them. So here's how CBS 3 told us this off-duty Philadelphia police officer was able to do this.
Breaking overnight, Philadelphia police have recovered this car, which they say was part of a foiled carjacking attempt. An off-duty officer told investigators the white Honda rear-ended his Chevy Malibu at around 11:30 last night at Ogonson Olney Avenues. He began a pursuit until the car went into Lower Marion. Police found the Honda and two suspects at 67th and Leeds Street in Overbrook. In a statement, Philadelphia Police Commissioner Daniel Outlaw says the police department has deployed additional resources to investigate these incidents and apprehend offenders. This includes plainclothes officers deployed to targeted areas and an operational task force dedicated to combating carjackings in the city.
All right, so this guy apparently gets rear-ended. He's off duty, so he wasn't part of this undercover detail. He then takes off in pursuit of them. So I'm not sure then he must have thought this was not an appropriate accident, didn't react in that way, thought something was up. The advice that we said before is this. If you're in a situation like that, you know, you feel something about this might be a potential carjacking, whatever, I would call 911. I talked to Roe again about this today. Dan, call 911 as you're moving out of there. Tell them you're going to the nearest police station. Where is that? You're reporting someone rear-ended you, but you're afraid of whatever the consequence is. And I don't see in any universe where you're going to get hit with leaving an accident or anything else. I think even the crazies in Philadelphia would have trouble with this. And we've had police officers and others call in and say that's exactly right. You don't have to stick around there and be carjacked given what's going on. So here's an off-duty cop. Now, I'm not sure if he had his weapon. I hope he did. And somehow or another, he didn't think this was an accident and didn't get out, as far as I can tell, and then trailed them. And they got two of them. They ought to be flooding various areas with this.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, this is what it comes down to. And I think what we've seen, the point we've been trying to make on this show is this. We know the homicide numbers. We know all that. But we had on Bill McSwain the other day, and we talked about how carjacking has risen to the fore here for whatever reason. They're not just shooting each other, various criminals. They're deciding at gunpoint more and more and more to carjack people. And the technique they're using is to bash in the back of you. And you're thinking, it's an accident. I got to get out. I got to see what this is. And then at a point of a gun, and you may have a baby in there. You might have some, who knows? In addition to that, plus you're at their mercy then. Well, come on now. They're just going to take the car. Just give them the car. Like Mary Gay Scanlon. Really? And we've also documented at least a few cases where people are firing back. And they've been successful. This cop, I think, was highly successful. And he was off duty. And Alny and Ogontz is not horrible. And it's, at least the time they talked, I mean, it's pretty brightly lit, etc. You're bashing into someone there, Dan. I think you're just going to do this just about anywhere. That's the technique. Bump into them. They get out. It makes it easy. I mean, usually you think of carjacking. We think of people not paying attention. They get out for a minute. Their door is open. And then somebody swoops in and takes the car. That's not what's happening here. This is planned. Okay. Let me take a couple cars. Our side question today. Hit us with a location that's in the title of a song. It doesn't have to be a geographic location. It could be any kind of location.
Captioned, tips to prevent carjackings.
Yeah, what would, again, we got hundreds of media looking for fodder. Just listen to the show. Dan and I said this to you. We've had police call in. Ask Larry Krasner. Ask the police commissioner. Ask these people. What is your advice? There's no dancing around this. You are rear-ended, okay? What do you have to do? What would you tell people to do? Why is this not being asked? Why is this so hard?
Don't stop for apparently stranded strangers along the road. Note their location.
Yeah, Larry?
Thanks. Thanks for your help, Larry.
Thank you. I'd like to know, though, where these well-lit areas are. Half the street lights or a third are out. And I'd also like to know, what happens if someone bashes into me? What are you telling us? Please, some reporter that has access, they're never going to talk to us.
Park in well-lit areas.
Yeah, what's the answer? What is the answer here to that question? Because this is exactly what's happening. All right, let me go to Mike in Margaritaville. Mike, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Mike, good afternoon.
I don't think he's in Margaritaville.
Oh, that's right, he's in Hamilton. I thought he was in Margaritaville. All right, so Mike, sorry about that. What is your location?
Hey, Dom, how you doing? Hi, Dan.
Good.
Hey.
Good. I'd like to go with the Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. I think that's a pretty good choice.
Yeah, it is a very good choice because it has place, but it's made up too. So, and big following. Okay, Mike, we got you for that one. That is a worthy contender. All right, Mr. Good Afternoon. Joe and Exton's next. All right, Joe, what's your title, location in a song?
Hello, Dom, and good afternoon. My location song is Allentown by Billy Joel.
Why'd you choose that one, Joe?
Great song.
Because Billy Joel mentions the name of this of the city several times in the song.
Yeah, well, and it's a metaphor, or it's the template too for, you know, failing cities, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. Without a doubt. All right, all
he does
good
say the
choices.
Name a bunch in the song, so that is a good reason too.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, not just one reference, but it's named a lot in the song in addition to the title. All right, let's clear the decks here. Every day, today we're playing for a pair of tickets, an Admit 2 movie pass to see Universal Pictures, The 355. A dream team of formidable female stars come together in this action spy thriller. Jessica Chastain, Penelope Cruz, Bing Fan. I'm not sure of her work, but I'll check it out. All right, let's give people a minute or so to be ready. And Dan, give us a little background for today.
The Money Melody.
Where's all the money gone?
So today, our side question of the day is name a song that has a location in the title. So I thought I'd do a twist on the side question. So your clue today is that the name of the band has a location in its title. So not the name of the song, but the name of the band has a location in its title. And Dom, today we're asking for the name of that band. So here's your clue the first time.
I love.
Pretty easy for a lot of people out there, but you'd be surprised how many people don't know that song. So one more time?
Yes, one more time.
And we're looking for the band name.
We are looking for the band name at 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You just push #1210, first person in with that. You get the prize today. Coming up, we'll take that and more of your calls. And you may have missed it. I played it at the top of the show. This Bob Casey Jr. cut, still getting a lot of reaction to it about voting and drop boxes. We'll play that again. All straight ahead here with Dom and Dan. Talk Radio 1210.
I can't afford it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, that's right. Dom Giordano every day. Dan puts together, using his musical skills, something that's devilish or maybe not. And you have a chance to win a prize with Dom's Money Melody at around 2:14. Let's hear it again, what we have for today. All right. Remember, we're doing location in a song, and this band, this group, fits that. So let's go to Robin in Huntington Valley on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robin, what do you have?
Hey, hi. Oh, I have Kansas, Point of No Return.
Very, very nice. Yes, it is Kansas, Robin. Stay right there. We're going to get your information. You're gone off to see 355. Nicely played every day. 2:14 is your shot to win. Vast genres, vast things that we do. Is Kansas still an act that can fill a good size arena?
No, I don't think they're a huge, hugely good sized arena. I got to see them. They're the kind of act. I know Cheap Trick did it one year that will play the July 4th at Cooper River Park. And
okay.
I got to see them at July 4th, Cooper River Park. It was raining, muddy. Everyone's shirt was off because it was super hot. It was, it was just an incredible, incredible kind of event. And I will always love Kansas just because they're my top three concert of all time. And it was all guys up there in their age, but, still rocking out on their violins and guitar. It was a really cool experience.
All right, so that's the winner for today. Be ready tomorrow. We do it all again. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Dan's working on getting the sound. We just saw this. Hakeem Jeffries gets in the face of Republicans on the floor of the House. I'm going to play that for you. He's the guy, the odds on, to be the successor to Nancy Pelosi in whatever role, Speaker, it won't be, but Minority Leader. We'll play that. But I want to play you Bob Casey Jr., who woke up and gave us the keys to how far Democrats are going in their playbook now. They're the ones saying Republicans can't win if we count all the votes. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that we're going to get people allegedly to vote, legally, illegally, doesn't matter, whoever they are, however they got here, and that's how we're going to win. All right, so first, here is Hakeem Jeffries from New York. You've seen this guy on TV a lot. And this is making news because he talks about the vote, the right to vote, how sacred it is, as if suddenly this is under fire. But then listen how caught up he gets and makes it personal. Here's Jeffries.
Speaker, I yield 1 minute to the gentleman from New York, the chairman of the House Democratic Caucus, Mr. Jeffries.
Gentleman's recognized for 1 minute.
Speaker, we are here today
defending our democracy for one reason and one reason alone. It's because the radical right has decided that the only way they can consistently win elections is to engage in massive voter suppression. The right to vote is sacred. The right to vote is special. The right to vote is sacrosanct and central to the integrity of our democracy. There are people who died, lost their lives, shed blood to make sure that black people and everyone in America could vote. We're not going backward. We're only going to go forward. You better back up off of us. We will pass the John Robert Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. We will pass the Joe Manchin Freedom to Vote Act. We will get it to Joe Biden's desk, and we will end the era of voter suppression in America once and for all.
You better back up off of us, okay? You get the references here. This is where we're going now. Here's Casey Jr., not as fired up, awaking from his week-long nap, to bring up who he's protecting and to tell us where Democrats are going as far as protecting the vote here in Pennsylvania and across the country. This one involves massive drop boxes.
You know, a lot of people back in 2020 who said, oh, you know, in Pennsylvania, you had a big turnout for president in 2016. But that turnout's going to go way down because it's a re-election and there's a pandemic and people won't vote and people will be afraid to vote. We went from about 6 million votes in 2016 to almost 6.9 million votes. Now, that didn't happen in our state just because people were more interested. It happened because we had pathways by way of a change in state law to allow them to vote. Being able to vote early, being able to vote by way of a mail-in ballot, having a drop box. What if you're 90 years old and you live in a rural area in Pennsylvania? What if you live in a rural area and you can't get to the county election bureau to drop off your mail-in ballot? Shouldn't you have a drop box if you're 90 years old and you want to vote? What if you live on a farm? What if you're running a farm and you've got a busy life or you're running a small business? Shouldn't you have the opportunity to vote? Or should you just be restricted to one day in the year, one day per year, every year for a general election? And if you can't get to vote that day, then you're not able to vote. Why would we go back to those days?
All right, that's what we've been answering along. How many drop boxes are needed then? How's that 90-year-old getting to the drop box? But was it so bad? How did we do that? How is it that people did that? Now, we always had absentee ballot if there were going to be an issue that came up. And there was a little bit of rigor attached to absentee ballots then. I think if you were going to be out of county or you had some other kind of excuse, medical or what it might be, then you had an opportunity to get an absentee ballot. But it curtailed it. It made it so you couldn't go nuts because we know the dangers. Remember that Senate race that made national news? State Senate race, the cheating that went on there with absentee ballots and the like, your nursing home, okay? But we did it. How did America do that, and why is it so much more difficult to vote today than then, given all the things that people have, they have now, say, than 40 or 50 or 60 years ago, to get to the polls? Shouldn't it be about that? So 855-839, no. What is that 90-year-old going to do? Well, he just said they can have an absentee ballot and they can mail it in. Nope, that's not good enough. They want to put it in a drop box. What about farmers? What? Yeah, they're too busy. They can't be showing up on election day, farmers. I didn't know that. That farmers suddenly didn't have the opportunity, they were too busy to vote. Doesn't it come down to this, that there are a lot of busy people, a lot of difficult circumstances, but people that actually want to vote showed up and voted. And they did it even in the midst of COVID the last time around. This is all part of their template. They have a lot of unserious voters. The equation is this of what Democrats are saying to their voting base. You are not serious enough about this, even if you hate Trump, to actually show up on that day. You might check outside and say it's either a nice day, I'm not going, or it's bad weather, I'm not going, or there's a sprinkle or shower, I'm not going, or I'm hungover, I'm not going. Bob Casey to the rescue. Just get to that Dropbox. Stagger to that and throw it in the Dropbox. Not even mailing it in. The Dropbox.
We've gone all show without you saying Junior, strangely.
Junior. There yes. Yeah, I'm
waiting
glad
all day for the Bob Casey Junior.
Yeah, the Bob Casey Junior. I mean, he's only there because people still, the magic of the Casey name and the father, I told the story, was so much the Democrat that you used to hear about, the moderate Democrat, a liberal, but you could see this guy was of integrity, particularly on the life issue, not the son. But he shows up and he gives us a clue. So did Jeffries. On the one hand, they're making it completely racial. On the other hand, they're telling us that suddenly it's so hard to vote. I don't know if that was prepared to start talking about farmers. I know we have farmers listening. Farmers don't have time to vote. And then he mentioned small business people. Now, it never seems to me that Democrats care about small business and their needs. I'm looking at yesterday we had the Consumer Price Index. And even Charlie Gasparino, Dan, forgot about this one, but I didn't. I have it. Today, the Producer Price Index is out. These are the people that produce the goods, that make them, etc., that we then consume. Their rate of inflation is at 9.7%.
Wow.
Now, the rate of inflation for consumers is at 7%. What that tells us is that around 2% they're having to eat. In other words, they can't pass on the 9.7%. It would be beyond enormous to consumers, so they're passing on what they can, but they're not passing on the full price. So what do they do then? Well, what they do is they cut back. They either say it's in a restaurant, they cut back maybe on what they're giving you fully, or they cut workers. That's where this leads. So it's called the Producer's Price Index, and it's 9.7% that came down today. It's a smaller thing. I mean, we all know the Consumer Price Index. That's what we, but the producers, you can just imagine. We had a guy call in yesterday. There's no sympathy. There's no empathy for people that are in these situations. But Casey Jr., right? Just out there getting away. Be asked, what's so difficult to vote? Let's talk about what has changed so much. Can we put COVID aside? Let's say COVID is under control to go and vote. We get that. We get the dynamic of what happened the last time. Yet, I still saw long lines at the polls. You may have been in one of them. I voted in person. So what has changed? Nothing, except they know their vote. It's low information. It's unserious. They're voting because they want to get something. And they think these are the people, they're right, that are going to give them something. But if you don't make it unbelievably easy, they're not going to show up and vote. Now, I'm not in political life. So I can say it's not just about corruption and counting the vote and all the nonsense that happens with the mail-in ballot. I resent the fact that we have people that want to sit on their couch and just vote one way because they think it will give them something versus actually being serious about it and actually showing up. That's what I would tell Casey. He would never come on again. He's been on a couple times. But then he goes completely bonkers. And he talks about 90-year-olds in rural Pennsylvania that can't get their absentee ballot. They can't mail it.
Sounds very familiar to me.
Why is that?
Well, it reminds me of the Joe Sestak.
The Joe Sestak. Let's play it again one more time. What the heck? I love hearing it. So this is Congressman Joe Sestak. All right. This is way back when. I guess this is 8 to 10 years old. I'm debating him on statewide TV, PCN. It's at Cheney State University. The audience is completely on his side, which I love. I have no problem. It doesn't matter to me, you know. And there's hitting him with all kinds of things about how hard it is to vote.
You make a great wrestling heel. Just going to put that out there.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I started walking around with the crowd. The woman had said, well, Dom, you know, would you like to take over the show? And I said, don't mind if I do, or something like that.
Give me the microphone.
And, yes, I felt bad for her, so I calmed down. But the question was on voter ID. And all these people in the crowd and Joe Sestak, the horrors of it. So he references a 93-year-old woman who should be able to vote, but because of voter ID, she wouldn't be able to produce her birth certificate and couldn't vote. Here's the exchange with then-Congressman Joe Sestak.
Well, Congressman, I think, though, that what you just told a young person here is kind of destructive. Nobody's trying to prevent anybody from voting, and we would help the 93-year-old to vote. Maybe you and I ought to contribute the $13 so that she can vote, rather than on statewide TV bringing up a 93-year-old.
Well, see, what I think the value here is, the greatest thing in the Navy, the Chief of Naval Operations said, Chief of Naval Operations said, when any two naval officers come together, there's always a difference of opinion. That's the value of a democracy. It's not destructive to have a difference of opinion with Dom.
But,
that's the value, is that we both
incentivize. It is destructive not to take care of the 93-year-old.
Absolutely.
Tell me who she is. I'll pay the $13.
We already took
I'll drive her there. Well, then
Absolutely.
Why did you bring it up?
But the point is...
Well, Joe, why did you bring it up, though?
The point is...
Joe, can I ask that?
Yes, but you let me answer, Don.
Well, please answer.
All right, I'm going to
if I could, he deserves an answer.
Oh, my goodness. I think there's a little bit more, Dan. Do you have that, too, or no?
I don't have that in front of me, but I can probably...
Okay, all right, yeah. So... Here, caught up again. They had already taken care of it. It was able to be taken care of. Look, I blame Tom Corbett and the dithering Republicans. They did not do the groundwork to get voter ID when we controlled the Senate, House, and governor's office. They messed up, given the media hostility, et cetera, and the wild stuff. But imagine here this guy, knowing that the 93-year-old was now cleared, still bringing her up, and then telling me about naval officers on the poop deck or something. That's what's going on here. But Casey is telling you they are not going to let us get out of the pandemic. They're not going to let us get past this. They feel they've made it easier to vote for people. They know that's their vote, not the people that like going to the polls, like that feeling, you know, like Saturday Evening Post, they're standing in a line there and they're voting the way that you should. Nope, you're not going to go back to us. We know our voters. And by the way, 14-year-olds ought to be able to vote, too. So they got some 90-year-old guy out there somewhere in rural Pennsylvania. They got to put a drop box at his couch. Otherwise, he won't be able to vote. All right, more of your calls coming up at 855-839-1210. All right, it is Dom time. You know what that means. Breaking news. We go to Dan in the Dom Dome Central Newsroom.
Yes, so the SCOTUS has decided on the... issues concerning vaccine mandates. The Supreme Court has blocked the federal government's COVID-19 vaccine or test requirement for large workplaces, but the court has allowed a vaccine mandate for workers at federally funded healthcare facilities to take effect nationwide. So again, they blocked the vaccine or test requirement for large workplaces, but they allowed a vaccine mandate for workers at federally funded healthcare facilities to take effect nationwide.
All right, that is exactly what we predicted. And according to them, too, the federal government cannot mandate either you be vaccinated or that testing that they put in. Now, private employers can make their own determination, and it's going to be interesting to see which ones now can't say, well, the federal government is making us do it. This is huge news, and I think is completely, Dan, do we know? Just for reference, was it 5-4 or 6-3?
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers on the vote, but I will try to find that here.
Okay, yeah, we'll try to get you that. Now, the bigger thing, and I know this is huge news for a lot of people listening. We had a woman that called in that just quit her job around something like this, and her vaccine status would be sent to OSHA. So this means they're under no compunction now. They can take this down. This is final. That the federal government does not have this power vis-a-vis OSHA or anything else. What will Biden do now? But the other question is this. I got to see the document. We're going to have some people on tomorrow. What does this do with the administrative state? Now, I don't want to be in all the weeds today. The big headline is that the mandate is gone. Except the compromise was, look, you're getting Medicare, Medicaid. So doing this in the federally subsidized health care facilities, that's a different animal. And I probably have people listening. I'm not sure how much that goes down to the average hospital. Probably it means they can put it in there. I guess the Supreme Court thought that the issue of Medicare, Medicaid funding and also healthcare workers with people that are unvaccinated probably swayed them. But on the bigger issue, the tens of millions of American workers now do not have to comply with this vaccine mandate vis-a-vis the federal government or the testing. Can your employer still do that? Sure. Will they? A lot of them will not do that now. The bigger thing, long-term on this, and we'll see from the language exactly how far they went, all these bureaucrats, all these OSHAs, all these other things, usurping American freedoms. In other words, the test here was on if Congress didn't explicitly tell OSHA to get into this area and do this, under what authority can they do it? And they're saying, well, the president sent it to us, and we have the authority. This is bad in the workplace, et cetera, et cetera. So, this is huge news. Go ahead, Dan.
Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan were the dissenters for the decision to block the vaxxer test rule.
Ah, so it was 6-3.
Yes.
Even Roberts. Now, I kind of predicted, even though he's squirrely, Roberts does not like the administrative state, the bureaucrats.
And then on the other side of things, it was Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, and Barrett, which dissented from the decision to allow the healthcare vaccine mandate to take effect nationwide.
So Thomas,
Alito,
Barrett,
Gorsuch, and Barrett.
All right. Notice who's missing from there.
Yes.
That would have turned the decision. So Kavanaugh.
Kavanaugh. Yeah, Kavanaugh too.
I mean, Roberts could have gone that way. We know that he might go that way. Kavanaugh. So let's read the tea leaves here. Thank God Coney Barrett, because I would be embarrassed how much I touted her. I don't forget what I've said. In my view, went the constitutional way, went the right way on both of these. Kavanaugh did not. And look, Trump and everybody else has to reassess this Federalist Society and all these people. Just think of the blood, sweat, and tears that went into Kavanaugh more than anybody. Remember that? You remember how tense that was, what that was like. Even Lindsey Graham looked good. And here's Kavanaugh on the other side. 5-4 decision on the second. The first is the major one, though. 6-3. They vote in lockstep, but they only have three. Saying that, of course, Congress has not put their name on it, voted on it, put their name next to it, saying they can mandate that you have to be vaccinated under OSHA standards, etc. That goofball, Judge Sotomayor, last week, telling us, well, what's the difference between a human being spewing bloodborne poisons and a machine giving off sparks? Remember that?
I want to trash Sotomayor for doing that, but I got to thank her because I think that brought a lot to the ludicrousness of the Democrat
side.
It
did. It helped a lot. Yep, people usually don't pay attention to the oral arguments, but you're right, Dan. That and Breyer saying 750 million Americans have been impacted by this. I mean, just, what are these people? It told us how out of touch they were with this whole thing. And she was arrogant with it, too, on top. I mean, come on. You're right. I don't know if it swayed any judges or not, but it got the American people to pay attention to it at that point. Why did they take this long? They dither. I think they had it. Sorry, Tracy calling us had already left her job, et cetera. So we'd love to get your rant. This is major, major news. And it could have actually gone the other way, except for Kavanaugh. It would have been 5-4 on the one with OSHA and the Medicare part of that, which I would have liked to have seen. Look, for those that are in this situation and were facing losing their job, et cetera, this is huge news. I think the bigger news we might see out of it, though, is rolling back the bureaucratic state. And the bureaucratic state, almost universally, goes the progressive way. Because they worship at the altar of the federal government. They want more and more and more government in our lives every single day. That's what was challenged here. You just can't throw the ball to OSHA. and OSHA comes in, under what authority to take away the rights that we're talking about here? Congress didn't explicitly say, this is a mate. Here's what the test is. How big of a deal is this? This is one of the biggest deals ever. And unless Congress passes the law and explicitly then wants OSHA just to execute it, OSHA can't act like this is some minor thing that they have to deal with and it's under their purview. They struck that down, not 5-4, 6-3. We'll see the language. I hope the language is more universal in it. That would have a big impact on our lives. So when you call in addition to the side question, I'd like to get your sense of how you're feeling. Maybe it affects you personally. Maybe someone in your family. It's a big, big moment here. And I think Dan's right. Sotomayor helped focus on this just by the wildness and how, oh, my God, the ladies on The View tomorrow. Oh, Supreme Court Justice wannabe Joyless Joy Behar breaking this down. Attorney Sonny Hostin. Oh, it's must-see TV. All right, I'm coming to you. 855-839-1210. You get in.
I'm aroused by him.
Well, we know that. I can just imagine the defense and got to read what Sotomayor said in this one. I can hardly wait tonight to see her dissent on this, how brilliant it will be and what's going to happen around this. The other side is quaking. This was Biden's big play. What's the White House going to do? All right, good Thursday. It's Dom time. Boy, what a reaction to our side question. Give us a tune with location in the title. I'm coming to you. Michael Siders, Dan, who's one of our all-time greats, emails me. Dom, who's busier than the Amish? They live in a rural area, don't drive, and seem to be able to vote in central Pennsylvania. I wonder what the secret is there. Yeah, how do they do it? They're farmers. They only have a horse and buggy. Are they complaining for more drop boxes? How the heck do they get there?
Do Amish people vote? It's a legitimate question.
Yes. In fact, Dan, one of the greatest interviews I've ever done was an Amish guy. Somebody else had to hold the phone. They weren't able to do that on a cell phone.
Really?
Yeah, because in the election of 2004, they won Ohio, I would argue, for George W. Bush.
Wow.
Because they voted as a block, like 25, 30,000, and he only won, you know, by a smaller amount. And Ohio was the key state. In Pennsylvania, they did the same thing.
Something I've genuinely been curious about in the past is I just didn't know if that was something they did
or
not. Yeah.
I don't know how they get to our area, though. They're not driving horse and buggies all that way. I'm wondering what they do. Well, some of them are not as observant, I guess.
I was going to say, if you're Amish and happen to be listening to us right now, give us a call. But
yes, well,
that's happening.
Or somehow or another, contact us on this. But the big breaking story is that the vaccine mandate goes down in flames 6-3. The other is the Medicare one. Yeah, you knew Roberts was going to go that way. But Kavanaugh. That's who you got to watch out for in the future. Kavanaugh. Coney Barrett voted the constitutional way on both, I think, but not Kavanaugh. Oh, God. All right, let me go to Richard in Westchester. He's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Richard, welcome in.
You know, Kavanaugh is so galling because you stick your neck. I mean, we stuck our neck out
exactly.
for this guy.
Exactly.
And does he not remember when they were clawing their way and trying to claw their way into the chambers? You know,
yep.
To me, that looked like an insurrection on the other side. And to have him just turn away from what he really should be doing, who the real backers are.
Right. I agree with you, Richard. We know we missed on Roberts because of George W. Bush, and he's the head guy driving the agenda. All right. We thought that Kavanaugh, after all that, was the right pick. Tells you how leaky the advisors are to presidents. And if Trump is president again, something about Trump was going to draw more choices to the Supreme Court, I would think. You got to get it right. I think we did get it right with Gorsuch. I'm hoping we got it right with Coney Barrett, but we'll see.
Can I give a song?
Oh, sure,
I'd like
Richard.
To go to now?
Yeah.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
All right.
Bluebird Sing.
Yeah,
that
great
is a great one. That is a great location. Chris in Newtown Square, then we'll have the lightning round. Hey, Chris, go right ahead.
Hey, Dom. Yeah, I'm involved in the elections here, and
even this past November, it's all local, right? And 75% of Democrats who voted in my precinct voted by mail.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in a heavily Republican area, you know, they don't – I have this argument with my partner on the other side all the time. You have 13 hours in the course of a day to get to vote, right? So 7 until 8 p.m. If you can't get there in 13 hours, your vote to me doesn't truly matter because you're not – you know, you only have to get in line by 8 p.m. You don't have to be in the
building. Well, look, Chris, I agree with you. And you could see by what Casey said, they are hell-bent because he's one of the most, you know, backbencher. But they're hell-bent to say it's a new day. We're never going to back. COVID is not in our mind. We just want our people to vote. That's it.
They love to bring up the whataboutism, like the straw man, you know.
Yep.
How many times did he say, what if? I mean, you know, that. Just making up stuff that just isn't true.
Without a doubt. Chris, what's your song with a location and title?
Well, it's a place I used to think was fake, but Kathmandu by Bob Seger.
Ah, I like Bob Seger. Dan is number one. You a Bob Seger fan?
I do, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I like Bob Seger.
Oh, I'm looking down the line. Leslie's got one we should have taken off the board, but I like one, Dan, that's happened fairly recently, too. I think you might. So, lightning round next. Be patient. I'm coming to each and every person. We'll give you a shot to get in on the side question of the day. Way to go, SCOTUS, sort of, on Talk Radio 1210. If I ever get out here, I'm going to Kathmandu. All righty, what do we call this? What do we call it?
The time has come for the final test.
We usually call it the lightning round.
All right, be succinct. Hit us with that song title with location in it. Couple things. Watch tomorrow, and we'll break this up. Progressives already saying, that's why we have to pack the Supreme Court. Can't let these conservatives kill people. Also, the extra credit, we do that today after the show on Facebook at around 3:30, shortly before. Facebook.com/1210WPHT. It's our look inside how we make this show every day with Dom and Dan. All right, let's go to Carol in Somerton, Talk Radio 1210. What's your song, Carol?
This goes a long way back, Shangri-La.
An oldie but always will be there. Something about Shangri-La. Chris in Gloucester, New Jersey. What's yours, Christopher?
Georgia On My Mind by Ray Charles.
That's the classic, without a doubt. Song, yeah. Gary in Newtown Square. All right, Gary, what's the song?
The most in it's called Sweet Home Alabama. It's Muscle Shoals, but it's probably the most recognized name in a song that no one knows. It's the most influential with respect to any genre of music.
I didn't follow
they produced,
that.
They produced Brown Sugar, Wild okay. Horses, Percy Sledge, Wilson Pritt, the Beatles, Aretha Franklin.
I got you. Got your point now. I'm going to take a couple more. Ed in Newark, Delaware. Ed, what's your contestant today? What are you throwing to the hat?
Dom, it's a phone number, Beechwood 45789. The title is fictional, but as it turned out, hundreds of people across the country had that number, and they were all flooded with phone calls.
Oh, that's a great call.
That is a great
and
call.
And Leslie's got one we should have taken off the board in Bryn Mawr. Leslie, what's yours?
Can I quickly comment on the Supreme Court?
It's all right, 10-15 seconds. Go ahead.
Huge thing today, bigger than the mandates. It just stopped the Democrats from the workaround and the overreach of government.
That's what I'm saying, too. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
My
Hopefully.
Song.
Yes.
My song, great instrumental, great lyrics, On Broadway by George Benson.
Yep, On Broadway is a classic. Yeah, Dan, it's very hard, but I told you I like one. Do you?
So there are a couple I like. I like Richard in Westchester had Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I appreciated Penny Lane pretty early on, Michael mm-hmm. in Northeast. Pennsylvania Polka got a lot out
you
of
like
us.
The polka,
Dennis
yes.
Halverson. But this last call, Ed in Newark, Delaware. I'm actually going to go with Ed in Newark, Delaware because Ed's short call there encapsulates what I love from the people that just call in with their side question. If you can bring us both a great answer and a factoid with your
yes.
answer,
I'm going to go
incredible.
With that one, too.
So, yeah, I would
yeah,
love to make an
brought,
example out of Ed.
He brought
a
lot
call.
In that call, and that's true. All right, Ed, your name goes into the hat. We're always open to side questions. Just send us a suggestion. We love doing them. Tomorrow, I know Dr. Oz is on the show, but I'm not sure if we're going to talk with the superintendent of schools or not and a bunch of other people. Noon until 3, Monday through Friday. Jim, thanks for producing.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3, from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.